Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live here on this Wednesday show, a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. If you're new, don't forget we do this every day at 11 a.m. It's complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Wednesday's always a solid day, and glad that you're with us for this program. Also, I want to throw a plug in. Don't forget, if you miss the show at 11 o'clock, it does replay most days here on the Big X at 3 p.m. Also, we're podcasted a couple different locations. SoundCloud and Apple Podcast are two of the great easy ways to catch up with the full show with a certain segment. If you missed it, you can log on to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or just type in the Hoosier Report in SoundCloud or Apple Podcast. It should get you there fairly easily. But appreciate you being with us one way or the other. And let's get right to it today. The Honey Baked Ham guest lineup joining us on the program. We've got some news and headlines here in the first segment, as always, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Then coming up in segment two, it's Wednesdays, which means Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with us. Jeff is one of the most valuable guests that a radio show that covers what we do could get at this time of year. He is on the road. He's not sitting at home writing and reading about all this stuff from other people. He is there on the scene watching this stuff. Jeff days often begin 8 o'clock or earlier, and he's often in the gym until after 10 o'clock at night watching all of the prospects and targets that we talk about that Indiana has offered, Indiana is interested in, young targets, guys that are going to be seniors when high school basketball resumes this winter. He's on top of it. He's also there to track the coaches and what coaches are at what games. He does a fantastic job. He's made for the month of July. We always joke about that. And Jeff will join us a little bit later in this hour to catch up. He was at the Peach Jam. He was at the Under Armour event down in Georgia. And we'll talk about the second window, which begins today, later this afternoon at 5 o'clock. That's the second of three 5-day windows for coaches. The tough thing, and we'll talk with Jeff about this some coming up, but the tough thing about this period is it was pretty easy to track what was going on. You had the Adidas event up in New York last week, Peach Jam in North Augusta, Under Armour event was in Atlanta. There were a few other things that coaches were at, but those were the three main ones that at least the mid to high major players were at for the most part. This period, all over the place. Trace Jackson Davis, his Indy Heat team, they are up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, of all places. There are tournaments just spread out everywhere. It gets a little bit better in the third window coming up next week. That's when things are kind of in Orlando and or Vegas. Those are kind of the two hot spots. But this period, man, if you're a college coach or an assistant coach, it's going to get zipped around to different places. You're going to put some real miles on an airplane in a few number of days coming up starting this afternoon. So we'll talk with Jeff about this crazy middle period, where some of the big IU targets will be and where maybe we'll expect that Archie Miller and his staff will be at later today when that second live window opens up for coaches to be out there recruiting these prospects. Also, later in the program, Greg Mengelt, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he stops by for his weekly chat. Really not a lot going on in the local high school sports community. Really not a lot going on in the Southern Indiana sports community as a whole. We'll look ahead to football a little bit. We'll talk more about volleyball coming up. Allie Hornung, yesterday we had her with us. She committed to Purdue. Big commitment for her as a young prospect. And that's another thing I want to bring up with Greg. A number of young players. I'm talking about players that are just now going into their sophomore year like Allie, or going into their freshman year committing to play Division I sports very early on. It's a trend that it's not just happening in baseball or volleyball. It's happening in other sports. Doesn't happen as much in basketball, to be quite honest. There have been some outlying crazy situations where kids have gotten scholarship offers way early and have committed way early. But really, it's a deal that seems to happen in baseball, volleyball, maybe a couple other sports as well. But we'll talk about that some with Greg when he joins us and catch up on a few other local sports topics. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Couple things to get to. There's a thought out there, and we talk with a lot of people that I have to say, and maybe myself at times, give the perception, and it sure does feel like it at times, that Trace Jackson Davis is going to be a real possibility to land at Indiana whenever his recruiting process comes to an end. I mean, for months now, we've known that he's going to take an official visit to Indiana, and we've known that that date would be Hoosier Hysteria. That date was made official earlier this week. So, obviously, he's communicating often with the coaches and Archie Miller. Obviously, he knew that he wanted them to be one of his five official visits, and he wanted to be there for the big Hoosier Hysteria event, which is a huge recruiting night each and every year, no matter who the coach has been in recent times. It's been huge to get players on campus, both the older guys and a lot of younger players from within the state as well. But back to Trace, you know, there's a story out on the 24/7 Sports North Carolina site, and you can log on and read it. I think you've got to be a member to read it. But I do want to share one quote from the story. This came from Ray Jackson, the father of Trace Jackson Davis, because there is a perception in the recruiting world out there that Trace is a lock for Indiana. And maybe that's true. Maybe it's not true. Maybe they're still really just going through the process. But here was the quote from Mr. Jackson. He said, quote, "A lot of people think that just because he's an Indiana kid, he's going to Indiana. Those writers are just writing to write things. His process is wide open. There are a lot of coaches who call us asking if they have a chance, but I think everyone has a chance." So, again, maybe that will back some Indiana fans off that are, you know, ready to celebrate Trace Jackson Davis and his announcement to Indiana. Perhaps it'll happen. Obviously, you can't deny that Indiana is very much in the mix. There's numerous things that clearly point to that. But I do think that we get a little carried away at times, myself, people that are with me on this show, fans especially, that because he's from Center Grove, because he's been to Indiana's campus more than he's been to other campuses, because his team played at the team camp, just a number of reasons, because he set the official visit so early that saying it would be on Hoosier Hysteria, that it might be pretty close to a done deal. And I think that quote, at least to the other coaches, they're wanting to go through the process and see what opportunities Trace has based on what happens this summer, what happens maybe to start his high school season, what other coaches want to get involved, like North Carolina, that haven't offered him a scholarship yet but have made pretty consistent contact and are telling him that they're very, very interested in him, like a lot of other schools are. There are a ton of other schools that have offered, and I'm sure there's others that might be making contact, trying to fill things out and see if they have a legitimate chance before they do offer a scholarship to Trace Jackson Davis. But I did find that quote really interesting because I do feel like at times we all expect and think that Trace Jackson Davis is not a done deal, but close, and something that you could almost somewhat count on in the 2019 class for Indiana. And I don't know that that's the case. It may turn out to be the case sometime later this fall or the next winter in high school basketball season. But for right now, obviously, his dad is pushing to keep the process open and is encouraging coaches to contact him and make communication with him and his son. One other note, I mentioned this yesterday. I didn't have the list in front of me to share the particulars. You probably have seen it or heard it elsewhere between now and then, but what a 14-month stretch coming up. February 2021 through March 2022 in the state of Indiana, Indianapolis specifically, 2021 NBA All-Star Game will be played in Indianapolis. The 2021 Men's Final Four, which has been scheduled for a number of years now to be in Indianapolis, will be there. The 2021 Men's, Big Ten Football Championship Game will be there. In 2022, the College Football Playoff Championship Game will be there. And in 2022, also, the Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament will return to Indianapolis, which how that tournament is never, not always in Indianapolis or Chicago is just absolutely mind-blowing to me. But what a run for Indianapolis and really the state of Indiana for sports to host those five big events. Those are five big-time events. And then, of course, don't forget, yesterday it was announced that in 2026, Indianapolis will host the Final Four again. So they're on the docket in 2021 and 2026 for the Final Four. Just an amazing sports city, what they've been able to get going and attract events in. The All-Star Game might be the biggest coup of them all. That's become just a huge party and a huge half a week long celebration. Normally that goes to the bigger NBA cities, the franchises that have name players that have had some success. Not that Indiana hasn't started maybe to have some success, but they're sure not at the level of a lot of other professional franchises. But that may be the most surprising of all the events that will happen in that span. And again, that's a span of 14 months starting in February of 2021, running through March of 2022. Really just amazing the number of high-level sporting events that will be in Indianapolis during that period. Couple other notes, ACC, I saw that their media day today for the football side of things. Obviously, the Big Ten media day will be coming up here very soon. I did notice that, and I saw Alex Bozich tweet this out, 11 years ago, Big Ten Network was launched. The ACC announced earlier that it has a logo for its network that has still not launched. It will launch in 2019. It's really amazing that the Big Ten Conference has had a television network for 11 years, and the ACC Conference, as good as they are, especially in basketball, men's basketball, has not had a network. That's kind of a expected thing for big-time, high-major conferences. They've got to be one of the only ones out there that doesn't have anything. But, you know, the Big Ten Network, it's just something that you count on. I mean, yeah, there's some silly programming on there at times, but you know you're going to get to see a lot of Indiana games on that network. You're going to get to see a lot of other Big Ten teams play throughout the winter on that network. It's just odd that the ACC just now getting to the point where their network is preparing for a launch in 2019. One other Big Ten note as far as coaching news goes, John Beilein at Michigan, he's got a contract extension. It was officially announced by the school yesterday. He has reached an agreement with Michigan through the 2022-2023 season, the school announced. It's basically a five-year deal. The deal extends one additional year and repeats each year until Michigan or Beilein has given proper notice that the renewal will not be exercised. Obviously, this contract extension comes after his name was floated for an NBA job a month and a half ago, and then he announced that he would not be entertaining that, would be returning to Michigan with unfinished business. Of course, that was the Detroit Pistons vacancy that I'm talking about. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break here in just a second and come back with more. Don't forget the headlines each day are presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's a big day at Hoopsters because it's Wednesday, which means if you go there for lunch or dinner anytime today, buy three or six traditional or boneless wings. Again, buy three, get three, buy six, get six, and you'll get the three or six free from Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That's a deal that's every Wednesday. Great deal. Make sure you make plans to get there for lunch at the end of the Hoosier Report today or dinner later tonight. It's a deal that lasts all day long. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll talk a little bit about the first window. We'll recap where Jeff was and what the environment was like and his thoughts on some of the big IU targets. We'll also talk about the second recruiting window that opens tonight. We'll talk about where the IU coaches and prospects will be playing at. It is a spread out five-day window in this middle window for coaches to be out. We'll talk with Jeff Rabjohns about that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com, who is with us Wednesdays. And, of course, this time of year, it's all recruiting when I call him Mr. July. Jeff Rabjohns joins us on the program. Jeff, I know we've talked about this some I know we've talked about this some last week and in past years as well, but you as a media person embrace and cover the period about as well as anyone I know. And before we talk about what you saw in the first window and where the coaches and prospects are going to be in this window that opens back tonight for coaches to get out on the road, talk about a typical day. We're talking about games that begin as early as 8 o'clock, games that could end as late as 11 o'clock or maybe a little after that. And if you're really going to be in the gym, you're really going to watch these prospects, and you're a coach of a Division I program tracking all this talent, especially at the Peach Jam or an event like that, there's really no reason to ever leave the gym during the day.
Yeah, that's true. There's not, unless you're going from, you know, one place to another. But you can pick a venue and be there all day. You know, just as an example of a couple days, I think it was, let's see, we got to Friday night and watched the games through Friday night. Those ended at about 10:30. Saturday morning, watched part of the quarterfinals just to double check that IU was going to be watching the players who thought they were going to be watching. And then made the three-hour drive around lunchtime over to Atlanta. And there were a couple guys over there that Indiana was going to take a look at, including a young, very, very talented point guard from Ohio. And we get done with the games there and in Atlanta High School. It's about 10:50 p.m. And the next day, need to be up in Louisville for the morning games, and we're about 6 hours away. So look at Drew Davis, said, all right, game started at 9. Here's what I want to see in Louisville. We're about 6 hours away. And he's like, all right, let's go. So we drove from Atlanta to Louisville, got in about 4:30 in the morning, get a couple hour nap, get some breakfast, back in the gym, and that's just kind of the way it works.
Jeff Rabjohns coming off the road, getting ready to go back, I'm sure, for this second window. Sounds like a lot of fun. Also sounds pretty tiring. I guess the D1 coaches and the assistant coaches, yeah, probably a pretty similar schedule, because all the places you mentioned, IU coaches, whether it was Archie himself or assistant coaches, were there. Sometime they were all at the Peach Jam, we know. But I guess that would be the schedule of a coach, basically, what you just told us.
Yeah. I think, they had a little bigger budget, so you're probably talking about some flights replacing some of those drives. But as far as the places you're going to be, it essentially is the same. You know, coaches are certainly going to make sure that they hit every place where they've got prospects. And obviously Archie Miller also spent some time, out in New York, seeing Matthew Hurt and Zeke Nagy and that group. But yeah, it's a time to bounce around, and it's really unfortunate that the events themselves weren't a little closer, because it's not for the comfort of the coaches. It's not for the comfort of media people like me. It is because the less time coaches travel, the more time they have in the gym, the more kids get seen. And we've all heard the stories, you know, a coach went to see somebody else and boom, saw another guy. And he kind of blew up. I mean, probably the most recent Indiana-related example would be OG Anunoby. You know, so I do think it would be nice, if at all possible, have a little more proximity. You know, because last year you had the Peach Jam in North Augusta, South Carolina. Adidas put their event to the very nice place in Spartanburg, South Carolina. About a 90-minute drive, maybe that. That was really good. So I think if I had one thing, if I was czar for a day and I could do one thing as it relates to this period of time, it would be we'd put these things a little closer together. Having kids have to go from Brooklyn to L.A., I'm not too sure that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, absolutely, and I know that we could very easily take your comments there and get off of what you saw and where you're headed for this next window, and get into a debate that has been raging all July from everyone that I've talked to in the business. And I know you heard it a lot down at those events you just named about, you know, you're talking about improvements to help make the coaches and the kids get more exposure, maybe make it a little easier on the coaches. The NCAA is talking about perhaps taking all of that away, which is, I don't know, again, that could lead to a whole nother discussion. But that has been, no question about it, a topic that I know you and coaches and other people that are familiar with this that recognize there's problems as well with it, know also that to just go cold turkey and eliminate some of these events from coaches from attending these events that bring together so much great talent. You mentioned some players, and there's a kid from Kentucky. I think it's Deontay Allen from down in Pendleton County, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just had a huge July. Indiana, I don't think, is in on him or looking at him right now, but he basically got many, many offers, including Louisville and others, because the coaches saw another player in that game, and it led to one thing led to another, and all of a sudden he's become a top 50 or top 150, I guess, national prospect. And that's just one story of many over the years that we could all recall from a player, whether it has an IU lean to it or not. So I don't want to get too far off on it. I do want to get some comments from you on it before we transition to the next thing. But the July period is so valuable in so many ways. I understand there are problems. Obviously, if you don't believe the problems, look at the University of Louisville and their connections to Adidas and the agent runners that got involved and all sorts of different things. But with that being said, there are a lot of positive when it comes to the absolute exposure that kids can get from these coaches being together with all the high-level guys on the same site, the same location.
Yeah, I mean, there are issues, but you don't hit a fly on a glass window with a sledgehammer. And that's essentially what the NCAA is doing. They also have people who don't go out to summer basketball in charge of summer basketball, which is just idiotic on so many levels. They have people who don't go out and don't talk to people associated with summer basketball. And they have some people on that committee who, based upon people I ran into this week, are refusing to even return phone calls to people who are very knowledgeable about this topic. So the college coaches have a big question right now. Hey, where are these people even getting their information? Are they just going off of their preconceived notions? So that's part of the problem. And this commission seems to have the opinion that, oh, shoe companies run everything. You know, wherever a shoe company wants a kid to go, that's where the kid goes. And they're hanging that pretty much all on the Brian Bowen issue or situation. Well, let's look at Brian Bowen for a minute. According to court documents, I'm going to use the qualifiers here so I don't get myself in trouble. According to court and legal documents, Brian Bowen was paid by Adidas. Brian Bowen never once played for an Adidas AAU team. Brian Bowen played for a big-time prep school, Lalamere, that is heavily sponsored by Nike. The commission's idea is that shoe companies get control of these kids, put them in certain programs, and then they go play for certain universities sponsored by that program. Yet the big situation on which the commission is hanging its opinions which are not backed up by fact, by the way, is inaccurate. So that's a problem. You can also look at plenty of other examples. Thomas Bryant played at a big-time Nike AAU program, PSA Cardinals out of New York. I mean, a big-time program. He goes to Indiana, sponsored by Adidas. Troy Williams, his uncle, who basically raised him, is Boo Williams, who has been a significant person in Nike grassroots basketball for decades. Nike built the Boo Williams Sports, or helped build the Boo Williams Sports Complex there in Hampton, Virginia, a huge, beautiful 8-court facility. Nike has sponsored the Boo Williams AAU program for years and years. Yet here's Troy Williams, who gets down to North Carolina, sponsored by Nike, Kentucky, sponsored by Nike, Indiana, sponsored by Adidas, and he says, you know what? I like IU the most. You know what Nike did? Nothing. It lets kids go where they want most of the time. Are there times like Brian Bowen's situation? Yes. But to take away opportunities from thousands of other kids because you're afraid of one situation like that occurring is one of the most massive overreactions you could possibly have. Another big problem is this. anybody who wants the Peach Jam saw a great team basketball. Team Takeover with Anthony Harris and Bancott and all those guys, the way they share the ball, the way they just watch them on defense. I mean, Matt, just watch them on defense. They help on defense. Some of these people are like, hey, your basketball, it's terrible. There's no defense. They just run up and down and take any shot. Anybody who says that is lying intentionally, or B, has never watched AAU basketball in the last 5 years. It's gotten better. The play has gotten better. Why? A lot of programs are stable. A lot of programs, you've got guys who come up through the program. Some of those guys with Team Takeover I was talking to during the break out there, some of them played for Team Takeover since seventh grade. One of the kids whose family had moved a little bit and had to change high schools said he thinks he's played more games with Team Takeover than either one of the high schools he attended. And he did not transfer high schools for athletic reasons. Family actually moved. Obviously, D.C. is a huge area. You can move a small space, have to change high schools. So there's really good basketball. And what the NCAA wants to change it from is from basketball, from teams, to camp settings. Camp, Matt, is the worst basketball of the summer. The NBA Players Association has a top 100 camp every year at the end of the June at the University of Virginia. I think I've seen 12 of the last 13. Every year, very good players. Every year, awful, awful, awful freaking basketball. It's a bunch of dudes who don't know each other from different parts of the country thrown together and said, okay, all right, now here, run some stuff. You know what they know how to run when they don't know anybody else on their team? Nothing. It's dribble, 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 jack. Dribble, 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 jack up a three. Dribble, 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 drive and fling it up. Every once in a while, you may throw it to the big man. But it's awful basketball. And anybody who watches things like the Peach Jam, like the Adidas Gauntlet, like the Under Armour Finals, and sees team basketball and says, you know what, let's get rid of it and let's replace it with this crappy camp basketball. Anybody who thinks that is moving forward is an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. You're an idiot. You may be accomplished in another arena of professional life, but to eliminate good basketball and replace it with the worst basketball out there, camp basketball, is the suggestion of someone who is either not informed or is just doing the bidding of someone else.
Jeff Rabjohn, it's good stuff, Jeff. I tell you what, there's no question about it, and I always go to the Peach Jam and Nike as the example, but the shoe companies have it figured out from a perspective of it's well-organized, it's what the college coaches want with everybody in the same gym. They get the best of the best facilities. Money's not an option. If you and I are going to go run a tournament, putting up some money in advance to rent one of these beautiful 8-court facilities somewhere that charge a lot of money. It's not cheap to rent for a weekend or especially an extended period like a 5-day tournament or opportunity like what coaches have to be on the road right now. Nike, it doesn't matter to them. They'll not only rent the building, but they'll send a semi in with banners and signage and put half-court logos down and make it look unbelievable for a summer setting, but they definitely have it figured out. And anyone that thinks a camp setting, yeah, it might be cool for players to get on a Division I campus and to stay in dorms and to get that experience. I think that that's interesting and would be fine. But to evaluate prospects in a camp setting when you haven't played with the team all year long, like this Indy Heat team or like the Team Takeover group that went on to win it that you mentioned, I think would just be a big mistake.
And another thing that's in play here is this. This commission, which, by the way, those of us who go out and travel, this commission's been in place since before the spring evaluation period started. None of us have seen a single member of this commission that's in charge of summer basketball. They never showed up to anything in the spring. They have yet to show up anything in the summer. Just for general reference, people who are in charge of something are not even observing it. But here's another thing that's a problem. They want the coaches, college coaches, Division I college coaches, head coaches, to nominate the players who get to go play in these camps in July. Do you know who is the least informed on who is playing well coming into spring basketball? College Division I head coaches. They've had a season to coach. They've had a team to coach. When the season's over, you know, they got to go through their own guys, you know, end-of-season meetings with all their players. During the season, they're focused on their team, trying to win games in their league. They'll have some awareness of specific guys they're targeting. That's it. I mean, if you had Division I head coaches, which is what, you know, Condoleezza Rice's group wants, if you have them pick who goes to the camps there's going to be so many players you're going to miss. It's unreal. There's not a single Division I head coach who the spring after OG Anunoby's junior year would have picked him as a national level recruit. Not one. He wasn't basically unknown. He was completely unknown. And then he really blew up because he played well. One of the reasons he played well and got seen was he got to play with Team Thad, an AU team he played with, and there were some other guys on that team that college coaches had heard about. And that's the old thing of college coaches go to see player A, player B plays really well, player B gets attention. And kind of like a third tier to all this, this is really the college commission telling the Jeff Teagues of the world, screw you. Because Jeff Teagues from Indianapolis Pike was one of those players who was not only unknown, but really flew under the radar. And he was probably going to end up, you know, at mid-major. And because he kept playing well and kept playing well and got a chance to get exposure, and because some mid-major coaches watched him and told some college coaches who they knew at major programs, hey, the kid's gotten too good for us. You guys need to go take a look. He ended up sort of moving up the recruiting ladder, if you will, and ended up going to Wake Forest, and obviously was there at Wake Forest for a couple of years before the NBA came calling. But if only the college coaches are making recommendations, they're not gonna recommend the Jeff Teagues of the world because they've never seen them. And you're going to have kids miss opportunities. And then another layer is you're going to have so many kids at the Indiana State Valpo IPFW level who – Where are they going to go play? You know, I mean, we're talking about get kids who go to a place like Indiana State, like IPFW, like Evansville, full scholarship. A lot of kids, if you look at some of the analytics, first generation or first college student from their family, get a college degree, changes their life. You're going to throw all those guys into the bus? You're just going to toss them aside? You know, I mean, there's questions like that. And beyond that, Division II, oh, hey, by the way, boys and girls, that's full scholarship, okay? You know, I have some parents who say, you know, I'm not going to return a Division II head coach's call. So my kid's going to the Big Ten. Hey, buddy, full scholarship, NAIA, full scholarship. If the NCAA and this whole idea in general is about opportunities for kids, this commission has essentially gone the opposite direction. They have put in a system that if it goes the way it is scheduled to go, will reduce opportunities and potentially eliminate opportunities for some kids who don't have big names.
Jeff, there are so many different ways that we could take this. And again, perhaps when the July period comes to a close, we could spend a full segment talking about this sure. sort of thing. And again, with how mainstream recruiting coverage has become and how much, especially at a program like Indiana, fans want to know what's going on with prospects. This stuff really matters, I think even to just the general fan that's following Trace Jackson Davis and wants to know where Archie Miller is going to be at for this second period that's coming up later today. But definitely good stuff from you. And as I said, I've got a new nickname for you in July. I've told a couple people this. Mr. July, that's what we recognize Jeff Rabjohns, because you thrive in this type of environment, and I'd hate to see that change because you put out a lot of good stuff this time of year. I do want to ask you this. The second window begins tonight. As mm-hmm. combined, and I think this just kind of goes back to both of our points, but as combined as everything was, even though it was New York and Atlanta and North Augusta, the talent was at those three spots for sure. That's where all the Indiana coaches were at, obviously just about every other high major coach as well, circulated through those three events at some point last weekend. As combined as that was, this upcoming period, they're everywhere. I mean, I was trying to look mm-hmm. and find out where some of the IU targets are going to be at starting tonight. Trace Jackson Davis, that Indy Heat team, they are up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. There are players spread out all across the country. It gets a little bit better in the third window with Vegas and I think Orlando that period. But tell us, before we let you go today, where will you expect Archie and the staff to be maybe tonight, maybe this weekend? And where are some of the players in addition? We know Trace is at Grand Rapids. Where will some of the other big ones be for fans who want to follow this stuff here the next few days for this second live window?
Sure. Yeah, I think the two key places right now for IU targets are going to be Grand Rapids and Milwaukee. You've got Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks who are going to be there in Grand Rapids. Then you've also got some guys that IU's going to take a look at on some of the younger Indy Heat teams who are going to be there in Grand Rapids. Guys like Christian Lander, 2021 point guard from down there in Evansville. Caleb Burst, 2021 big from Fort Wayne. Two of the other guys who are, and by the way, Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, IU, my unofficial count, has watched every one of their games going back to the two live periods in April, and obviously we just finished the first of the three July periods here. But we traveled around and watched the Nike YBL circuit pretty regularly because of those two. And I've got an IU coach, at least one at every one of their games. Obviously down there at the Peach Jam, they had two for two other games. And one game they went three deep. So their IU is continuing. It's a very strong push for Trace and Keon. So I expect that to continue. I also expect IU to be over in Milwaukee, take a look at Armon Franklin, Brandon Newman. That'll be another place where they make a notable stop. I think you'll also see at least an IU assistant, if not Archie, at some point out in L.A. The Adidas Gauntlet Finals are out there. That's the Indiana Elite program. So they'll be out there for guys like Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, and players like that. And another guy who's going to be up in Milwaukee who's playing really well in the 2020 class. He's going to be in Grand Rapids, is Jaden Ivey from Mishawaka Marion. We had a chance to watch him this past weekend, after we left the Peach Jam, and he's really coming along. He's 6'3", he can handle it, he can play like a combo guard. He had a game of 8 threes at the IU team camp. He had another game of 8 threes this past weekend. 2020 in-state prospect. He's certainly a guy who I think at minimum needs to start getting discussed on the Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway line. He's had a really good summer, and he also will be there in Grand Rapids. And obviously, with the Adidas Gauntlet guys who are out in L.A., you've got Matthew Hurt, you've got Zeke Nagy, you've got all those guys out there as well. So those are probably the key spots. But there are some other spots. I mean, you could probably, if you had a private plane, you could probably watch a game and get in the plane and see a different venue all week long. But I think it makes more sense to kind of like pick some spots, and I think that's what you're going to see IU doing this week.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, at Jeff Rabjohns on Twitter. Where will you be at, Jeff? Where can we follow for your updates?
I'm probably going to hit Milwaukee and Grand Rapids mainly. Again, those are the two places where you've got more key IU targets than anywhere other than L.A. L.A. is a little bit of a pricey trip, certainly, and Mike Pegram just had a chance to see all those guys this past period. So I'm going to probably mainly hit Grand Rapids and Milwaukee. May buzz down to Louisville for a day, depending upon who is there later on. May take a poke out to Kansas City, but that probably more of a Midwest thing for me this week.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, with us Wednesdays on the Hoosier Report. Jeff, can't wait to talk with you next week. Mr. July, don't forget about us. Check in for another update.
Okay? I like it. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, my friend.
All right, Jeff Rabjohns, safe travels to you with us Wednesdays here on the show. He brought up a good point as well. Louisville has been playing host to a lot of basketball this month. Earlier in the month, they hosted some major, major girls tournaments at the Kentucky Fair and Exposition Center. This period, starting today, I think it's already started, and going through later this week, is the All-In Hoop Fest. That used to be the Eddie Ford Kentucky Hoop Fest. So that's going on. I know there'll be a lot of games. A lot of local players will be playing over at that facility over the next few days, and I'll try to get a list together of some of the locals that might be interesting to you guys that are playing over at the Kentucky Fair and Exposition Center. It's a good deal. It's a great facility. The only thing is that darn parking. They hit you for $10 or $12 on top of the admission. That's a very frustrating thing about going to any event at the old Freedom Hall or any of those facilities within the Kentucky Fairgrounds. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. A little activity out here. Allie Hornung to Purdue. Football a few weeks away. And we'll talk about that with Greg next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We'll wrap things up today here on this Wednesday show with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, who is in studio with me on Wednesdays to talk local sports headlines. And Greg, for the first time in a long time, I think you come in here a little more relaxed, maybe a little more sleep under your belt, because it's not that busy of a time for things going on locally. High school sports are in a pause and not a ton of stuff. Now, it's going to change in a few weeks with football and previews and those kind of things, but for now, I think it's if there is an off time for a local paper sports editor, it might be a good time to take a vacation.
It's let's just see if we can find 10 minutes of things to talk about, because it really is probably the slowest week that we have all year, and it's hard to get a hold of coaches. A lot of them are on vacation.
Yeah,
teams aren't getting together very often at this point because school's about to start, so they're giving them time off until school starts coming up here soon. And yeah, another couple weeks and then it starts to really ramp up again, and I am looking forward to that.
Absolutely. One thing we can talk about today that is a big headline, in fact, we had Allie Hornung with us yesterday. She committed, just going to be a sophomore when school resumes here in a few weeks or less. She is committed to Purdue volleyball, and it's just amazing. One of the things I was going to bring up with you, it's not just her commitment, which, I mean, she's really good, and her family has produced some really good volleyball players. There's no question about that. But it's amazing to me, Greg, that in our area, we're not only sending as many kids Division I as we are to play whatever sport, but how young coaches are recruiting some of these players now. It's really amazing.
Yeah, volleyball and baseball in particular. You know, we just had, of course, Tucker Bivin a couple weeks ago, freshman. Signed with Louisville, and but those two in particular seem to be where, you know, you get a Romeo Langford in basketball, and you get some of these guys in other sports. But man, volleyball, just one after another, all American, five-star recruit, whatever. And then of course the Hornings, Jackie Horning was our player of the year, and then they just keep getting better. Marissa was probably even better than Jackie. Allie has a chance to be as good or better than Marissa, and I don't know what they did in that household, but man, can they play some volleyball there. And of course, you know, the baseball, as you continue to see with the Little League baseball down here, is probably better than anywhere else in the state overall. You know, if you didn't have Providence taking away players from New Albany and Jeff, nothing against Providence, just saying, you know, those two towns produce so much high-quality baseball players that it's hard to believe that there have been that many recently. You know, we're going to look, I think, in the majors in a few years and see multiple players from this area. So pretty incredible.
Definitely a possibility. Little League is the other subject that, as everything else is a little slower right now, we can talk about. We have some coverage of teams we'll be announcing next week, or be announcing soon for next week, I should say, that will be at the state tournament. We've already had a couple state champion winners. The Jeff Charlestown combination softball team, they won the junior softball state tournament. Floyd's Knobs, with lots and lots of young players, they won the 12-year-old major state in softball. And I think we've got some baseball teams coming up on tap that may have a potential to make some deep runs and perhaps win their respective divisions as well.
But HYR intermediate.
Yeah, I left them out. I'm glad that you mentioned that. They obviously won that division a year ago, and another group with some holdovers have come back and won it again this year. But a number of teams out of our local district winning, and it's always interesting to me how serious the little leagues in the area take the All-Stars and still believe in it, still play in it, bypass travel ball opportunities for a couple of weeks to play in the local district and then go play in the state tournament, put a lot of money into going to get hotels, because these tournaments aren't weekend tournaments. They're 5, 6, 7 days long at times. I think the 10-year-olds start today and they end next Tuesday. So you're looking at a six-day layout up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But it's amazing to me that not just in one division, not just in one little league, multiple leagues, multiple divisions, baseball and softball, it's still taken really serious. And that shows when these teams get to the state how competitive that they are.
And that's become really a key to little league success, is just getting your best players out. When we played, the best players all played little league. But now it seems like it's becoming less and less important in a lot of towns. And I think New Albany and Jeff in particular with baseball, they really continue to get those kids out there, and that's really good to see. And of course, the emergence of Floyd's Knobs in softball, they've been incredible the last couple of years. And HYR's intermediate team, did you see the scores of their state
finals? Just killing people.
That's a team that looks like it's going to go a long way. So a lot of fun. Not quite sure what to make of this 12-year-old team yet on the statewide level. Obviously, it's been about 16, 17 years since we didn't have a team, at least in the semifinals, from District 5 at the 12-year-old state championship. It's been a long time, I think, since we haven't had a team at least in the semifinals. So, obviously expect them to do well. I'm not exactly sure how to compare them, because they weren't at the 11-year-old state tournament last year, because Jeff was. But I'm going out there tonight to talk with the team and see what I can gather. And then, of course, we'll see Saturday and Sunday, but I expect another long run in that tournament, if not into the next tournament.
Absolutely. One other note, that I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to spend a little more time talking about it today, because we spent time kind of questioning coaches, saying what in the world's going on here. But Sean East from New Albany graduated back in June, got a Division I offer from Southeast Missouri, the Red Hawks, and I wasn't sure, because it's kind of, the thought's been out there that Sean's going to go to the junior college route for one season. Then there was the thought that he might go the prep school route for a season. So when I saw the offer come across, I wasn't sure if the offer was for now, leave there, go head there now, be a freshman when the season starts here in a few months, or if this was something that would be an offer for him as not reclassified, but for a year from now. Basically in the 2019 class. And Sean did tell me that this is an offer that is for now. He could go there right now if he wanted, but he said he still hasn't made his mind up for sure. So he has a Division I scholarship offer. I think he has some junior college opportunities. Prep school has been floated a little bit as well. Just glad to see whether he takes it now or he plays out a prep or JUCO route so he can get re-recruited, whatever path that the young man takes. I am glad to see a Division I school step up and give him a scholarship offer. In my opinion, people like Southeast Missouri and a lot of people closer back this way, even though Southeast Missouri isn't a bad trip at all, should have been offering him or figuring out a way to get a scholarship available to him when he really had a great senior year like he did. So glad he got the D1 offer. I really think more will follow if he does go the JUCO or prep route. But I did want to put that out there, because I know you and I are in unison, as are a lot of people, about this subject, that he's a D1 player, at least at the mid-level, and should have had more offers than what he's gotten from this one.
I don't know how Indiana coaches have blown this so badly. I mean, if you just look at his progression, progression from freshman to senior, all the things he developed in his game. Then you watch some film of like just the sectional. Just watch the sectional and tell me that kid's not a Division I player. The way he handles the ball, the way he defends the point, the way he shoots. Obviously, you can't tell me he can't play at Ball State or Fort Wayne or IUPUI. That's crazy. So yeah, it's good that he got this offer. I hope that he takes it. That's a very good university, very good place to go. But if he doesn't, I'm sure his options will open, because again, a lot of coaches are blowing it on this one. He's a Division I player.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Greg, football's coming up. Scrimmages are less than a month away. regular season, I think just over a month away.
Just over.
You guys have begun to preview some of the area teams. We've begun to have the coaches on each Thursday. In fact, Steve Cooley of New Albany will join us this Thursday just before his team has a big scrimmage, I think, up in Indianapolis. He said they're playing East St. Louis or someone like that. It's an absolute football powerhouse. He's going to join us before that scrimmage game coming up tomorrow. But it's almost here, and when it gets here, it'll go quick. And before you know it, it'll be basketball season.
That's right. Well, it's going to be one of the most unpredictable football seasons that we've had in a while, because I just don't know what to make of a lot of teams. And almost every team. I think Providence is the only team that I know is going to be good, for sure. No doubt about it. Providence is the only one. But I think Charlestown, New Albany, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, Charlestown, they could all of them could be good, but I just don't know. It's hard to tell at this point. So many changes from last year. So it's going to be an interesting season that I think could produce some surprises. I think there are some teams that might out there might be able to surprise us, and some players. And as we've been writing about some of the best players during the off season, that's it's been fun to do as well. But it's going to be. I think the word you said, a season of promise, something like that. It was last week that was going to be a season that there's some potential, a season of potential to be an interesting season.
Greg Van Gelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, always with me Wednesdays. Greg, enjoy this slower time. I'll probably see you on the Little League Road as we cover some of the big state tournament games coming up here over the next week or so. Always fun to catch up, and let's do it again next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right. That's we'll wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Back on Thursday, we've got Alex Bozich, New Albany football coach Steve Cooley, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.